we're live. Day two and shallow waves. There's the difference.
There's Solomon's idea. Anyways, so welcome back to day two of the Sardis Dibros. We're going to try to do all five of the Bein Adam Le Chaveiro side of the Sardis Dibros. Let's get started with Lotirtach. Lotirtach is the sixth of the Sardis Dibros. That is the Isser not to kill. There's a lot of, I guess, interesting hashkafic. What? Okay, we can get to Mal B'nei Chaveiro Rabin. Thank you, Mary. We can talk about that. I was not thinking about that, but why not? We'll talk about that in a moment. But before we get on to that, I want to add a couple of interesting things about Lotirtach. As I pointed out to you before, the Kli Yakar is very fond of comparing, of reading across, correct? Reading across, that means Lotirtach is connected to Anochi. Why? What's the connection over there? The connection is that one who is engages in killing is as if they deny the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He beautifully and poetically explains how there are different hadhagos, or avodos, of different nations. The avoda of Esav is that of hariga, of killing, of, you know, that of, you'll live by your sword, as we know as a bracha that is received. As opposed to Yaakovino, his bracha is that of Amunah. His bracha is in terms of his relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore they're opposites to each other. They repel each other. One who takes up Lotirtach is clearly negating the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's going to be an issue of his Anochi Hashem Elokecha. When it comes to halachas of Lotirtach, Mayor, up to you. Abortion or Mal B'nei Chaveiro Rabin? What do you want?
Abortion.
Okay. Big machlokes when it comes to abortion. There seems to be a stira in the Gemara. I don't know, stira or conflicting evidence in the Gemara whether abortions, but they're usher. The Gemara, based on the Mishnah, Mesechus Olos, the Gemara Mesechus Sanhedrin, seems to imply you're only allowed to kill a fetus when it's endangering the life of the mother. Okay? What does that seem to imply? That only when it's endangering the life of the mother. Why? Because otherwise it's an independent life. In fact, the Gemara identifies it, the fetus, as a rodef. A rodef is a status of somebody running after somebody to kill them. Okay? That seems to imply that it is usher to perform abortions. However, there's another very, very strong Gemara in Meseches Erchin. You will get to it, Adav Zion, I believe it's there, if I'm not mistaken. It talks about that a woman who's Chayiv Misa, we do not wait, and she's pregnant, we do not wait for her to give birth. Doesn't matter whether it's the 8th month or the 9th month or whatever the story is. We do not wait for her to give birth. She gets killed along with her child or along with her fetus. Unless the woman's in active labor. Okay, that clearly implies that the fetus is not considered alive. Otherwise, it wouldn't be Chayim Misa. Fine. The actual source of the Gemara is that Asher's abortion has nothing to do with Jews, has to do with Ben Noah. The Gemara darshes out from a pasuk in Parshas Noah that explains that abortion is Asher for a Ben Noah. So there's a machlokas rishonim exactly how to understand that. One way to understand that is that, well, if it's Asher for a Ben Noah, obviously it's Asher for a Jew. Others explain no. For a Jew, it's a different Isser, but it's certainly not Usser in the same degree as Ritzicha, as it is for Ben Noach. Halacha L'maisa, how do we paskin? Rav Moshe is fond of terming it as Ritzicha. The Tzitz Eliezer famously explains that it's not Ritzicha, but it's some other type of issue. The Tzitz Eliezer allows, in cases of need, such as Tay-Sachs and Down syndrome pregnancies, to consult with a Rav and a medical professional, and if need be, he permits abortions in certain situations, maybe up until 7 months. Rav Moshe thinks that there is no heter whatsoever. There are a lot of other primary poskim that we're not going to have time to talk about. That is abortion, Lotirtach. Okay. Lotinov. Lotinov is the next thing he says to Divros. That is, obviously, do not commit adultery. Okay, let's go back to Kli Yakar. So if Lotirtach is connected to Anochi, that means Lotinov is connected. So we already explained this yesterday a little bit. They have the same yisod. If we're in a relationship with somebody and it's usher to betray that relationship, to have infidelity, so too when the relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, it is usher to betray that trust and relationship that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, especially Shavuos coming up. Kafaleim Harki Gigas. We know, according to the Sifrei Machshava, that might have been a chuppah. That made it a chuppah with the Kadosh Baruch Hu marrying us, the Dibros being the Ksuva, etc. That is what some of the Sifrei Machshava say. terms of halachas lo sinaf, we know that znos or gila rayos is one of the big three, right? It's one of the gimel averos kamuros. Is there any exception whatsoever to lo sinaf? So simple understanding is no. However, there's a famous tshuva of the Marik who explains as follows. We understand who was put in a compromising situation when it came to Esther, right? Because Esther befaresia hava, right? As the Gemara in Tetra clearly explains. So what does Gemara answer? Esther Karkal Olam, so excellent Ezra, right? The Esther Karkal Olam, Esther was passive in her, you know, relationship with the intimate relationship with the Ahasuerus. Okay, that's all good until when? She willingly goes in, right? That she's, you know, kasher avaditi, avaditi, right? She goes in and she seduces Ahasuerus in order to invite him to the party, but obviously there was also some form of inviting him, you know, into her bedroom, and that was a active type of invitation. How is that okay? What was the heter? Isn't one of the gimel averos chamuros? So the Marik famously answers, anybody know? Hatzalas klal Yisrael shiny. Saving klal Yisrael is mutter in order even to perform one of the gimel averos chamuros. Fascinating applications of this halacha have been brought up throughout the years. Certain tshuvas, there's a tshuva of the Shvus Yaakov, there was a group of Jews traveling between town A and town B in the middle of the night, not so dangerous. A bunch of a mob like bandits came upon them and were going to, and they were out for blood. They were intending on killing the entire group. A woman went out of her way and was mafkir herself. She said to the men, "You can do whatever you want with me throughout the entire night." And they asked the Shvus Yaakov whether what she did was allowed to her or not. He said, while she's usher to her husband, because usher lebala, usher lebal, that still is intact, nevertheless, she acted within the spirit of Esther, that tell us Klal Yisrael Shiny, that would be permissible to in terms of her actions itself. It wouldn't have been together Lihar Gval Yavro. The Nodi Behuda famously cholik on that. Simple distinction clearly is that Atzalas Klal Yisrael is Atzalas Klal Yisrael, not Atzalas a small group of individuals. Okay, there are a couple of other fascinating truth about Eliyahu Navi with this, but I'll have to leave that for some other time. Okay, after Lo Tinaf, what do we have? Lo Signov, okay, stealing. Okay, Lo Signov. That is the third Aseres Dibro. So is it really stealing, or is it maybe something else, right? So we know that seemingly, according to many of the Rishonim, this is referring to kidnapping, right? But the Svarno actually makes a very interesting ha'ara. Says Lo Signov is included within Lo Signov is not just people, but it's also property and das, like Geneva's das. The deeper philosophical underpinnings of the Svarno might be that at its core, the nefarious nature of the sin of Lo Signov and stealing property and people and das, they're all under one umbrella category as opposed to being fundamentally different. Lo Signov is keneged what? Lo Tisa? How is it keneged Lo Tisa? You tell me. And right now, well, so Lo Tisa is I can't take God's name, you know, I can't swear in God's name falsely, correct? So, says the Kli Yakar very, very cleverly, one who steals, what are they doing? They're probably stealing in the middle of the night. They're pretending as if God doesn't exist. So too with one takes God's name falsely, it's as if he's denying the existence of God. Therefore, at its core, it's very, very similar. Okay, that would be good enough for now when it comes to stealing. We could discuss copyright laws, Geneva's Das. Let's leave that aside for now. Okay. Next, ready? Gotta get to Rabbi Yaakovson. Losana Berecha Yitzhaker. Okay, Losana is the next of the Aseres HaDibros. That is taking false testimony against our friends. That is obviously Kineged. What's the fourth of the Aseres HaDibros? Shabbos, Zachar, Shabbos, Shabbos, Akacho. What's a common denominator? Edus, excellent, excellent. One who bears false, you know, testimony against her friend, you know, so, you know, might come to go ahead and bear false testimony against their fellow friend, or against a Kaddish Baruch Hu. The effect of Sheker is obviously a problem. Even Mahavacha, it's problematic. We know that one, meaning even halakhically speaking, one is not supposed to daven, say, Shema, Kriya Shema, without wearing tefillin, because you might be giving Eidos Sheker, right? So the Mishnah Berurah brings that down. It's usher to accept a lie according to the Rambam. However, there are certain situations where lying seemingly is mutter. Anybody remember throughout Chazal
three,
or throughout?
There's three, right? About how much you know.
Oh, so that's for Talmud Chacham. Excellent. That's Marim Bava Metzia. We can talk about it in a moment. What?
Shalom Bias.
Shalom Bias. Okay, who lied for Shalom Bias? Avraminu lied for Shalom Bias. Hashem lied for Shalom Bias, right? Okay. Who else lied? Yaakov lied. Anochi. Esa Bechorecha, right? How is Yaakov able to go out and do that? Okay. So there's a Radak. The Radak explains, on Parshas Toldos, that the reason why they were lying is because they knew Beruach Kachem that it would be improper for Esav to go out and receive the bracha, and also Avraminu was nervous about the well-being of his wife, so obviously he had to lie in that situation as well. If you have a double meaning, some people say it's also mutter to go out and lie in that situation. For Shalom Bias, there are Heterim to lie. For Talmud Chacham, we just pointed out the three examples. It's B'Mesechta, B'Puria, U'B'Shviza, right? Those are the three examples that the Gemara gives, meaning how much they know, their intimate relationships with their spouses, as well as whether they enjoyed, where they stayed, where they lodged, whether they enjoyed where they lodged or not. You're allowed to lie when it comes to those things. Lying for tzitzis is also okay. The halakha l'maisa comes up when it comes to women going to the mikvah. It's beferish in the Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed to lie or circumvent that issue when it comes to one night a woman has to go to the mikvah. Honestly, lying, but in general, is a serious problem. The Mesilas Yesharim actually railed against lying, even in joking context. And it makes sense because what is a Kadosh Baruch Hu? What's the essence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? MS. Okay, so if the essence of Kadosh Baruch Hu is MS, therefore, it's really incumbent upon us to maintain that sense of MS. Very, very quickly, I heard a great idea of an Anochi Esav Bechorecha. Right? What is Rashi saying? Right? Rashi points out how it's a comma. You know, Anochi and Esav is Bechorecha. Like, who? What does Rashi think? We're foolish? So heard from my Rebbe Ben Arshwan, it's a beautiful insight. He said, no, what was going on over here is that even though Yaakov knew he lied, and Yaakov is each time Yosheva Olim, right, is Emes Liakov, Tine Emes Yaakov, right, that he was the man of Emes. Nevertheless, he felt bad about it. Even though he was allowed to lie, according to the Radak, right, he was allowed to. He was supposed to take the Bechorah, so it wasn't supposed to be Esav. It was his rightfully. But nonetheless, he didn't want to, like, he wasn't doing it b'simcha, b'slavas. It hurt him. So, like, as a reminder, Anochi, Esav Bechorecha. There was still that recognition that there was something problematic over there. The last thing he starts to differ is out of the sach mode. One is not allowed to be jealous, okay? And included in jealousy, what are you not allowed to covet? Your friend's wife, okay? Covet asavicha vesimecha is the last of the bein adam le makom side. Bein adam chavero is coveting as well. The Klei Yakar explains how when one is looking or jealous of somebody else's spouse, so they could lead to a breakdown in the family and the respect that the children have towards their parents if the parents are not respecting their spouse either. And that's a connection over there. Very, very quickly, when it comes to Los Achmod, there is a discussion about whether it's whether there are malchus for Los Achmod, whether it's a lav sheyesh bo maisa, lav sheein bo maisa. There's a big machlokes in the Rambam and the Ravid, with a beautiful answer by the Rav. The Rav Rosenzweig has a long article in Hebrew about this, but in English he also has an article about this, and he ends with the following beautiful, beautiful idea. If I were to ask you, this is the last time the Ribono Shel Olam is speaking b'chvod v'atzmo to the world, to the human race. Okay, you would want him to end off with a bang, correct? I would want him to end off with a bang. Los Achmod, a bit anticlimactic. Don't be jealous. What is that? Says Rav Rosenzweig, no, because Los Achmod beautifully encapsulates the ambitious nature of what the Torah and Avodah Hashem demands of each individual. What does Los Achmod say? Don't be jealous. What is the Torah saying? That if one goes to the Aseret HaDibros, one becomes real Avodah Hashem, not only can you change the way that you speak of Losana or the way that you act with Zachor or Kaveh Sviyacha, you could change the way that you feel. You could change your emotions. You could change the inner essence of who you are. That's what Avodah Hashem is all about. That's the comprehensive nature of Avodah Hashem. That's what we're looking for. That's what the Torah is there. It's in order to be Mekadesh who we are. The famous Maisa with Moshe Rabbeinu fighting with Malachim to go bring the Torah down to earth, away from the Malachim, out of Shemayim, the Gemara and Shabbos, I think it's Pei Aleph, something like that, maybe it's Pei Aleph, I'm not sure, I'm pretty sure it is, says, he's fighting with the Malachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, answer back to Malachim why the Torah needs to go down, and Moshe Rabbeinu answers what all his answers are, highlighting the what? The faults within human beings. It's highlighting the fact that we struggle with avodah zarah, we struggle with jealousy, we struggle with murder and jealousy, and then all these things because we're imperfect people. But one becomes the Nevar Hashem, one becomes the Amid Nivchar, one takes upon themselves Torah mitzvos, they can achieve the status of Sach mode. Even our that which we're jealous of, our inner emotions, our inner essence can be changed. We should all be zocha that as we come to Shavuos, that we should be Bekai in the Aseres Nivros, Kil Chasam, and also understand the message of Sach mode, that we should truly be zocha to transform the very essence of who we are to become true Ovdei Hashem. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful Yom Tov.